Hey, what's up? This is Kev from the Falafel House Fantasy Football Podcast, and you're listening to the BS Podcast Network. Enjoy the show.
So, actually, you'd be proud of me. I actually got my beer yesterday. Yeah. A day ahead of our recording. Usually, it's like on my way home from work, the night we record, just because that's how I do things. But I got it the day before. And actually, it was an inconvenience for Kelly because she texted me today. She's like, hey, did you get your beer? Because I was hoping you could pick me up some Soft Parade.
After listening to last week's episode, she was just ready.
But so what she was giving me shit, by the way, that I keep picking on her on the episode or on the podcast. But, you know, it is what it is. But so anyways, I'm like, yeah, I already went and got my beer. I can stop if you want. She's like, no, it's all right. I get home. There's a case of Soft Parade in the fridge upstairs and this thing. That's fine. You can drink it. Just keep it out of my beer fridge. Has no business in there with my good beer. No, it's a good, I give her shit because, you know, she's my wife and that's just the type of person she married, but she does like the beer. So I'll, anyway, let's do an episode.
You'll cut her some slack.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do some recordings here.
Well, who are we?
We're the Two Bobs. Damn it.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 41 for Monday, November 13th, 2017.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about the mindfuck that is daylight savings time, how it's getting cold, also the beer we're drinking.
We'll talk a little bit more about the iPhone X, discuss the merits of frozen pizza, and of course, a crazy news story.
The bobblehead in the background, I don't know which one it is, the little red one that looks like it's floating above the sign is very distracting. How is it suspended in midair?
He's got a little plastic stand. That's Iron Man. That's from the Civil War. Okay. Iron Man versus Captain America.
Yeah, I see. I see the red and I see the blue, but it's in the background, and the camera's focused on you, not on the bobblehead.
It should be.
Well, yeah.
As long as you can see Pennywise up there,
I can see all the Pennywises. So I love those we're good guys. To go.
I do love them.
Yeah,
I do love them. What's going on?
You know, not a whole lot. It's Friday. We're recording on a Friday tonight. And the one thing I like about recording on a Friday, the negative is that there's just less time to edit and things like that. But, you know, in my defense, it was your idea to record on Friday this week. But I like it because it's at the end of the work week. It's a nice way to kind of like ease into the weekend. I don't have to worry about like getting up tomorrow morning and working. I just have to worry about my three-year-old waking me up at the ass crack of dawn like he has been. But you know, at least I can drink my coffee and veg on the couch for a little bit versus getting ready for work tomorrow. So you know, it's the usual work week, and I'm ready to start the weekend. How's things been for you?
The same. I do like the Fridays too. And I think for the same reason where you can if you have an extra beer, and I work from home on Fridays, so it's a little bit different for me to record on a Thursday because I don't have to be up at 5. But at the same time, it's still kind of like having the Fridays free. But with that being said, like you said, it is nice to just be able to wake up whenever and not worry about it. So if I do have a third one, I don't have to worry about feeling kind of funny during the morning and same kind of thing, just drinking coffee and waking up at my own leisure. But daylight savings time this week has really kicked our asses around here. I sleep like a log pretty much, but almost everybody else is either waking up an hour early or not being able to sleep. Are your kids finding that, or you or Kelly finding that same thing?
No, we seem okay with it. Like, we had a day or two we were a little bit off. What tends to fuck with me the most is just the fact that, you know, my office stays open usually until 6 o'clock, and I'm not always there until 6, but like once that daylight savings ends and we fall back an hour, it just, yeah. it, it's like I never see the light of day. Like I go to work in the morning and it's dark or dark-ish. Even if I get off at 5 o'clock, like I still like it's still like dark. Like it's just always dark, and that tends to fuck with me more than the actual time change. And it's and to me, it's just like it marks the start of terrible, cold, snowy, nasty weather. And I'm not the person that loves, you know, I'm like, well, I like the seasons. I don't like the seasons. I like when it's hot or warm. I don't like cold. So like half the year I'm okay. Half the year I'm miserable. And I'm heading into that, like, that miserable time. In fact, this morning, it's funny because I'm heading up the road near my office and I'm a little bit early. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stop and get some Starbucks. So me being me, I order through the app, even though I'm there at Starbucks. I'm still sitting in the parking lot in my car, ordering through the app, just waiting for it to, waiting for to see the message that my order is ready. And keep in mind too, when I'm driving to work on the road, the road's perfectly clear. Like it's dry. So I get the message that, that my food or my drink is ready. And then I get out of my truck and I'm like, oh, it's starting to snow a little bit. That's crazy.
Oh, no.
If I was in a time warp or something, but I go grab my my drink off the little drink stand for the mobile orders, say goodbye to Janet who works there, and then get in my car and drive across the street to my office. And I swear to God, by the time I got to my office, there was snow all over the roads and all over the grass and on my car. And I'm just like, God, it started snow squalling for like maybe 15 minutes. And then of course at that point it stopped and then the road dried up and then all the snow melted and it was fine. But I'm just like, God, this is it. It's now at the point where if something is going to fall from the sky, there's no question that it's going to be frozen now. And I'm glad you brought this up. Thanks a lot, Robert. You've ruined my evening by asking about daylight savings time.
See, if we recorded last night, I probably wouldn't have thought about it.
No, it would have been chipper. I mean,
you're in the wrong place to be living somewhere that you don't like the cold.
Well, Kelly mentioned,
and I know I joke that it's always igloos and Eskimos up there, and I know it's not. But I've talked about it just being Packers fans moving up to Wisconsin, kind of as a joke. But I could never do that. I hate walking, outside when it's cold and you got to warm your car up and it just, everything is so uncomfortable.
If I could go back in time, find the guy that originally decided to settle in Michigan, I'd punch him in the face because like at some point you would think, I mean, the people who originally settled Michigan, it's not like they just did this 20 years ago and they built a house with brick and wood and put in a furnace and things like that. Like they came up here. And
the Phillipses.
Yeah, somebody did. Fuck whoever it was. I don't, if it was me, sorry. But they came up to Michigan and it got cold at some point. And back then when it got cold, it wasn't like, oh, it's kind of cool. Let's put the heat on. You know, it was okay. One of us is going to die because it's cold. And that's what happens at this point when we're leaving this little cabin and we run out of firewood or whatever, So like, I feel like at that point, common sense for me would have been like, oh, damn it, it's cold. We should move back down south, like pack the horse and the buggy back up, start heading south where it's going to be warm. But for some god-awful reason, people decided to stay. And because of that, now I live here and my family lives here. And I'm so entrenched in Southeast Michigan that I'm just not going anywhere. Like if it were me, if I wasn't so ingrained in Michigan, having family and a house and a career and things like that, I would have got the fuck out of here a long time ago. I was not designed, my mind was not designed to brave the winters here in Michigan.
Now, I was going to say you're a grown ass man. You can go wherever the hell you want to, but you've got a lot of family up there. We do.
My parents and my in-laws are both within like a 10-minute drive from our house. So it's, and that's really invaluable is to have that support system here if we need it. So I can't really then the house, at least before, like I could say, well, we bought the house in 2008, then the market tanked and we were underwater for a while, but that's not the case anymore. So it's like, damn it, we have equity now. So if we really, really needed to move somewhere else, we could, but it's at the end of the day, it's family. It's my job, and it's all the things that other things that keep us in Michigan. It sure the hell is not the weather, though, that keeps me in Michigan.
Or the Lions.
Yeah. It's not the Lions. It's definitely not the Lions.
And the Tigers. Oh, that's the other thing, too. We've talked about moving, and we have one in high school and then the others in elementary school. So we've talked about, you know, when high school is over, it's maybe time to look somewhere else. And then we keep thinking, well, I keep thinking, and where would I go that I could still be close enough to here because there's family? But we've got family kind of all over the place, and still be able to see the Nationals. So I think, oh, okay, we'll go to this state or go to that state. And it's got to be a state with a National League team. So at least when they come into the area, they can, you know, we can go to the games or whatever. But I don't know. There's a push to move at some point, just because this area has just kind of worn us out. Traffic and just so many people. So trying to go to a little slower lifestyle, I guess, would be very nice. But I'm not sure how realistic it is. Maybe one day.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing always with that is just making sure that, like you said, you have one in high school and they have their friends and things like that. I mean, that's even what keeps us, you know, one of the things that just keeps us in this neighborhood is, you know, I don't want to have to lift, you know, to take my kids out of this neighborhood, especially Colin, because, you know, we do have people, we have friends in the neighborhood that are really cool. They have kids and Colin's schools and his support system, things like that. I just don't want to remove him from that. Harrison is 3. He doesn't give a fuck, but I mean, he'd be like, okay, whatever.
yeah.
But I wouldn't want to take Colin out of that.
Yeah. The kids though, that they lose. I mean, we've had moving from daycare up into kindergarten and then in kindergarten on to first, second, third grades. They've had kids that have been their best friends. Like they can't live without them. And then at some point one of them moves and it changes and then they find a new one. So they're pretty resilient. And I think the high school, the older ages are kind of harder to do that because they're really kind of entrenched in those cliques and finding kind of where they fit in. And you try not to upset that, but at younger ages, they seem to, for at least so far we've seen, have been able to adjust to that a little bit better. But oh well, it's part of life. Some people move a lot more than we would or you would. So they seem to be all right. Those military kids.
Yeah, I mean they make it, but it just it. And also, it's just like I don't fucking feel like dealing with it.
You got a pickup truck. You'd be moving everything.
I'm also yourself. Lazy. Yeah, that you know we have so much shit. That pickup truck still only holds so much. When we moved from our apartment to our house, we hired movers. I'm like, I'm not fucking moving all this shit. Just pay somebody to do it. You know, best $350 or whatever it was that I've ever spent is just having them move all the heavy stuff and most of the boxes. But
moving is the worst.
It is. But you know,
I'm thirsty.
Let's talk about our beer.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
I've been sipping mine.
I pre-drank tonight, so you know.
I'm excited for you to tell me what you've got over there.
So I'm at Meijer. Cute. I'm at Meijer yesterday and with Harrison. I, you know, Kelly had some things going on with Colin and we had to get some groceries. So I'm like, you know what? I'm out of work a little bit early today. I'll take Harrison up and we'll get some groceries. And Kelly made me a list and ordered it by aisle. So I know where to go. That girl knows Meijer like the back of her hand. So, I mean, it was very well organized. But as I'm going down, I'm like, you know what? I should get my beer. So I look over in the craft beer area at the Meijer store, and I see this beer. And I said, God, that looks really good. It's a porter. I like porters. It's unique. It's from an area of the world that I've never drank beer from. And I'm like, let's get it. So I start to put it into the show notes for today. And I'm typing it in, and I'm like, I feel like at some point I've typed this in before. Like, it just, like, my muscle memory was, like, going off, like, hardcore, like, this is all very familiar. So I go to the2bobs.com, I go to what we're drinking, and son of a bitch, you drank this on the show already. So... luckily it was episode 8, so it was a while ago. It was, you know, 33 episodes ago, so it's been a little while. But I'm still gonna, you know what, fuck it, I'm still gonna talk about it like we've never had it before. So What I have here is a coconut Hiwa porter by Maui Brewing Company. It's a robust dark ale with hand-toasted coconut and hints of mocha. I don't know exactly how else you would toast coconut. I guess you machine toasted. It's not toasted by a machine, a robot, a cyborg, or anything other than the human hand. So I appreciate that. But the can says it's crafted with passion from the heart of paradise. We are an innovative and independent brewery. Welcome to the Ohana. And it's Maui Brewing Company. It is 6.0 alcohol by volume, 30 IBUs. So it's a, you know, it's just like a lot of porters. It's a little bit hoppier than you'd find in a stout, but not quite up there with the IPAs and some of the other stuff that has the higher level of hops. I took a couple sips already. I'm going to take another sip just so I can get a good feel for what I'm talking about.
Now that's one I had on my list for a long time, and I just never really got around to buying it. And then when we started doing the What Are We Drinking segment, I figured now's a good time. So I don't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember enjoying it, and I've had a couple of their beers since then. So what do you think?
I like it. It's one of their flagship beers, so this is an easy one to get. This one, they have the Big Swell, which is an IPA. They also have a pineapple Mana, whatever that, however you say that, which is like a wheat ale. But this is their porter. It's really good, actually. I like it. It's a porter. I wouldn't say it's anything too incredibly special, but you can taste a little hint of the coconut. I can definitely taste the mocha that's in there. It goes down pretty smooth. It's 30 IBUs, but it doesn't taste like it's 30 IBUs to me. So it's a little bit smoother than I was expecting with that IBU rating. It's good. I mean, honestly, it's one of those that especially if I'm looking for something that's dark, but something like, especially if it's not the dead of fucking winter in Michigan maybe it's a little bit warmer, maybe I'm going to be outside, but I still want my dark beer. This is kind of a cool beer to have at that point. So, I would say that it's not necessarily the first one I'd pull off the shelf, because I'm very limited what ones I'd pull off the shelf first, but it's definitely one that I would buy again.
Well, that's good. So yeah, your BJP is going to be off the shelf first, always.
At that, the left-handed, I gotta say, you know, I'd almost say that my Nitro Stout is maybe dethroned the Vanilla Java Porter. Just it's so hard to say. They're both so good.
They're on equal footing, at least.
They really,
because they're different.
They could make a Nitro Vanilla Java Porter. Actually, it's funny. I was talking to a coworker of mine today, and actually, she gave me a really good idea, a beer suggestion for a kind of a wintry Christmas ale. So I'm going to be looking for that one. But she even mentioned, she goes, she likes the darker beers. We were talking about that. She's like, there's one. She goes, they make a vanilla Java porter. I'm like, oh, it's Atwater vanilla Java porter. Trust me, I know all about it. But that's really good. And then we got a little bit into the Nitro Stout, and she said she's going to look for that. And, you know, but again, this is definitely the Maui Brewing Company Coconut Hiwa Porter. Is definitely one that I would buy again, because it has a little bit of sweetness to it, a little bit of summery kind of coconut flavor to it, but it's still dark. That's what I look for, and for me, in a beer anyway.
Cool.
What do you got over there?
Well, I'm going back to my friends at Dogfish Head, and knowing that you can get this up there probably, but it's the Liquid Truth Serum IPA, which is 6.8% alcohol by volume, 65 IBUs. The release is October to December. Original release date's 2016. I've never had this. I don't think I've ever seen it. So I was excited to try it. But the website says you can handle the truth. The truth is Dogfish Head has been doing innovative things in the world of hopping since we opened in the mid-90s. From our continual hopping method found in our 60, 90, and 120-minute IPAs, to our latest innovation of post-boil hop additions found in our liquid truth serum. Our unique process involves pelletized, powderized, leaf, and liquefied hops. Make for a blissfully inefficient IPA that's truthfully hoppy without being deceptively bitter. Find the perfect match of citrus and tropical notes, making for a zesty finish. Honest. And I definitely taste the citrus in there, and I'm not quite sure exactly. It is kind of the citrus and tropical. A lot of times an IPA, that, and I mentioned it before, has kind of that grapefruit bite to it. This one doesn't have that. It's a little bit sweeter.
Hmm.
So it's something different for me as far as an IPA goes, but I like it so far. I'm trying to figure out exactly where it fits as far as IPAs that I will, like we always talk about, what we're going to take off the shelf and whether it's going to be first off or I'm going to buy it again. I'm still kind of working that out, but I'm almost halfway through this glass already and I haven't put it down.
That's really interesting. So, you know, normally the process, and I don't know very well the process of making beer, but what I do know is they bring it to a boil and then they add the hops in at that point. So is this, so it, maybe the difference in the bitterness is the fact that they add the hops later on in the process, it sounds like.
Yeah, it could be. Now, their 60, 90, and 120-minute IPAs are really among the best as far as IPAs go. As far as I'm concerned, they're really good. The 90 tends to be a little bit strong. So if I'm just going to drink a couple of them, I like the 60. This one, I kind of like the fruit taste in there. So I'm going to have to think about it, figure out where it goes. 60 is 60 minute for me is kind of into that four. And this is between 3.5 and 4 somewhere on Untappd for me. But I might change my tune as I get a little bit more into it. I'm just trying to adjust to the taste, which again, kind of like the coconut you said, it doesn't really stand out. There's nothing that really jumps out that I don't like it. It's the fruit part that I'm trying to wrap my tonsils around or wrap my taste buds around, I guess.
As long as it's not fruity as a soft parade, we're good.
No, I got that citrus in the tropical. It's all in there, but it's not overpowering too. Because okay. I have had some where it tasted like I was drinking potpourri. There was just the flavor was too strong in the wrong direction. This one, I don't see that. So it'll be close to a 4. I'm not quite sure it hits the 4.
Gotcha. I rated mine a 4.25, actually. Again, it's one that I would definitely consider buying again in the future. I like that's in a can too. So it's, you know, it's really easy to just kind of throw in a cooler and just crack open. You know, I like to drink my beer in a glass. I'm not a fucking animal, but at the same time, it's one of those, if I had to drink it out of a can, cause I was out somewhere and just, you know, I could do it.
Well, that's one too, that you could bring to places. If you were going to a party and you brought that, you wouldn't have people turning their nose up at it. I think a lot of people would like it.
I think so too. It seems to be a pretty eclectic, even for a porter, pretty eclectic. So you can find out about the beer we're drinking today, as well as every other thing that we drink on Untappd. And I should qualify that by saying every other beer that we drink. So you're not going to get my, you know, my morning coffee on there or anything like that. That's Untappd, which is UNTAPPD. It's a social network for beer drinkers. They have all the apps for all the things. And I can be found at Phil Roberts 33.
And I'm available at Robert K 328. And I just got a Dogfish Head IPA for the holidays badge on Untappd.
Nice. I got some badges and I ignored them because I don't really pay attention.
They're nice little surprises. I always look to see what they are. A lot of times they're different levels of ones that I've had before, but I like to see what the new ones are. I don't really pay attention or count them, and I couldn't tell you how many that I have or any of that, but I do like when they're popping up there.
Other listener just called in, and I had to ignore her. She called on my new iPhone 10, by the way.
Oh, I see.
I think last time that we recorded, it was the night before the big day that the iPhone 10 was hitting shelves and being delivered via UPS to my office. And I got it, and so I got on release day, and I gotta say it's definitely the best iPhone that's ever been released. But I would go as far as saying, honestly, that it's probably the best device Apple has ever made. You know, I think about all the computers and my MacBook and my iPad Pro, which I love, and all the things that I use in my daily life, the Apple TVs and things like that.
Watch.
My Apple Watch. But at the end of the day, just from the The additional features that they put in it, the design work. I mean, it just feels like when I'm holding it, if I have it in a case, by the way, but because it's so damn breakable. But I mean, it's just like holding it naked, so without a case on it, it just feels like I'm holding just a really, really finely crafted device in my hand. I do agree with a lot of the analysts that are out there and a lot of the people that are saying that it's the best thing Apple's ever made. And there's some people that aren't as optimistic about it. But I think it's just a phenomenal phone, and it's really truly a piece of work. I know it's a lot better because you have the iPhone 8, don't you?
Well, last week I did have the iPhone 8 Plus because waking up release day and not, I guess, the pre-order night at 3 o'clock, I was not able to get in the door. But as luck would have it, I signed up for a website called isinstock.com and just went ahead and put the iPhone in there. And I actually also put an order in with Best Buy just in case, trying to see if they would fit within my 14-day window. That Saturday after you got yours on Friday, Saturday morning, I was out walking the dog and I got an email saying that the local store had some in stock and they had the color and size and everything that I wanted. So I went ahead and ordered it, and I was able to go in that day and exchange. I took the 8 Plus back and I was able to get the 10 because I was very anxious to animate some poop emoji. And I walked out with the silver one like you got. And I like it a lot too. I was a little bit nervous about getting used to the gestures, but I found, you know, without the home button on there, and we're going to geek out for a few minutes, but without the home button, I was wondering how the navigation of the phone would be. And it's been surprisingly easy. I think it probably took me 1 or 2 minutes of just getting used to what they were before it just became natural.
Yeah, it is a very natural thing. In fact, I mean, you could argue, I mean, just being able to swipe your thumb up from the bottom of the screen is actually an easier thing to do than to press a button that's at the bottom of the screen. And
you've got your thumb down there anyway when you would push the button. So now you're just swiping. So it's what they did in order to implement this really makes a lot of sense.
I think so too. So it's a very natural thing. And I was kind of joking, you know, when I first got it, for maybe the first little while, I kept, you know, a couple of times I like kind of phantom press the home button just because that muscle memory was there. I got to go home, I push the button, and then I'd push it. And then, of course, nothing happens because there's, you know, no button there. But what I found, like, what I'm finding is when I use, last night I was using my iPad Pro, I kept phantom swiping the bottom of the screen to try to get home. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this still does have an actual button that you press to get home. So it was kind of a funny thing. I'm like, I keep swiping. And of course, I'm pulling up the damn control center and everything like that because I'm swiping. So I do like it. I mean, the notch got in my way for a little bit, but then it kind of just started blending into the background. It's hardly noticeable. What's the most noticeable is still that there's a lot of apps out there that aren't supporting the aspect ratio of the iPhone 10 because, you know, if you haven't really seen it or used it or know much about it, what they basically did is they took the 7 Plus screen or the 8 Plus screen. They made it slightly narrower, but it is longer because it's an edge-to-edge display. So those bezels at the top and the bottom are gone now. So it's a bigger display technically, but it is taller and slightly narrower. So what happened?
It's a lot like the 6 or the 7, where they basically, rather than taking the bezels of the top and the bottom where the buttons are, just removed that and just took the screen all the way to the edge a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what they've done. It's a nice form factor, though. I love the fact that it's just smaller. It just feels better in my hand than the large Plus, which I use. I had 3 different Plus phones in a row, which I loved, but this just feels so much better. I'm so happy to be in a smaller form factor now. It's so much more convenient. It's easier to hold. It's easier to handle. So I do like that. The only thing is now the app. So there's the support for the longer or taller display. You know, the adoption I feel like is moving along pretty quickly, but at the same time, there's a lot of apps out there that still don't support it. So you get the letterbox at the top and the bottom of the screen because they're not designed to stretch out that much. And it's from a developer standpoint, it's really taking your app and redesigning it to be in that larger display. You can't just like stretch it out, because then it would just look really super funny. So, but every day it seems like I have more and more apps that are being updated to support the iPhone X. And so I'm sure it won't be very long before pretty much every app out there supports it. The adoption is definitely a lot quicker than it was going from like the iPhone 4S to the 5 when they did a similar type of thing with the display and made it a little bit longer or taller. It seemed like that adoption was just really slow. Over this time around, I think just developers are more astute now than they were then. So, I mean, they're just really speeding through the updates, which is cool to see.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be some that are easier to do than others where they have a lot of blank space, or it's just a matter of enlarging the wrapper that holds everything in there. But I know of a couple that I use fairly often that I'm pretty sure won't be updated for a while, or at least until the next major revision. But for the most part, yeah, I think everything. And the notch, yeah, I don't even see it anymore. I think I like what they did with kind of tucking some of the visual things, the battery, the Wi-Fi, and all that right up into the top horns, I guess, whatever it is, or the areas surrounding the notch. So it's again, taking a little bit of getting used to right at the beginning, but now everything seems, and I've done the same thing. I've got an iPad here that I use for our soundboard. And,
oh God, here we go again. Dork alert.
and using that earlier to open it, I had to rest my finger on there. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's kind of silly. And even using, my son's got an iPhone 5 that he uses just for music. And I was putting some songs on for him, and I did the same thing. I was kind of swiping. So it, really, in less than a week, it's that mode of getting around the phone has taken over what from, and I've had from the original iPhone back in 2007. So 10 years I've been using the push button, and in less than a week, my brain is already reprogrammed to can just swipe around the screen.
Yeah, again, I think this the implementation, it's a very natural thing. If they had made it awkward, so if they had taken the home button and moved it to the side of the phone, for instance, or the back of the phone, that would be really weird, and that would take forever to get used to. But just the natural motion of just swiping from the bottom of the screen, I think is, you know, it's a very easy thing. The only thing I don't like is to get to control center, you got to swipe from the top right horn, because the top left horn opens notifications and your widgets, but the top right horn opens up control center. So that's a little bit of a getting used to for me, because I just naturally, I use control center a lot, and I will still try to swipe up from the bottom. But again, it's just one of those things. It's reprogramming the muscle memory. It's not necessarily worse the way they did it. It's just different, and it's just going to take a little bit more time for me to get used to that.
So you had a little bit of fun today. You had a mysterious phone call.
Oh, yeah, these bastards.
It's getting to be that time as we're nearing the end of the year, and we're starting to look at tax season. The scammers are coming.
The IRS scams. Kelly sends me a text message yesterday with the transcript from her phone of a voicemail she received claiming to be from the IRS and telling her that if she didn't respond, the local police were going to come take her away. And you know, if it was a telemarketer, and we discussed this, but if it's a telemarketer, I don't mind. Like, I don't want them to call. Telemarketers bug the shit out of me too, but at least I know, like, this is somebody who, whether I want them to be calling me or not is a separate story, but this is somebody who's selling a product or service where if I decided that I really wanted that product or service they were selling me, I could give them my credit card number and they'd send me whatever the hell it is that they were selling me, and, you know, and I'd have a thing for that. These people scam people for a living. So I make it my mission when I receive calls from these people or when Kelly receives calls from them to fuck with them as much as I possibly can, because these people are fucking scum. And so anyway, yeah, Kelly got, and I sent you the recording actually. And it's funny because these people usually don't speak English so well. So they actually have a computer actually transcribing the voicemail to my wife's voicemail. It's crazy.
Expired in next 24 working hours. And once it get expired after that, you will be taken under custody by the local cops.
Something's
as
expiring.
There are four serious allegations working pressed on hours, your name so. At this moment.
I like that they said local cops.
We would request you to get back to us so that
like
we can discuss about this case before taking any legal action against you. The number to reach us is 828 585.
It's been disconnected, unfortunately. 9904.
We would have loved to call
I wouldn't even bleep this phone number. I want everybody to call these fuckers up and just waste as much time as they possibly can. Unfortunately, I tried to call it back because I had this genius idea. I was like, oh my God, we got to call them from the show. Yeah. Maybe call them a few times. I'll talk one time. You talk the next. It'd be fun. But I called them and I'm like, God damn it. It got to the point where I was actually like Googling IRS scam numbers 2017 to try to find one that we could possibly call. But unfortunately, and then at one point I was like, God, I feel like I'm just going too far down the rabbit hole with this. Like I should just wait till we, cause they're going to start coming more often now because we're getting into tax season. So at some point I feel like there's going to be one that calls like in the afternoon of the day that we're going to be recording. And that will be our opportunity to call and fuck with some of these people on the show, which I'm very much looking forward to doing.
If we can time it just right, and I think even if we don't, as long as we have a number that works, and like you said, that one didn't work, so we weren't able to get back to it. But I think between now and April 15th, we'll probably have at least one or two opportunities between the group of us, spouses and ourselves. I think we'll have some time.
Even if it's not the IRS one, if it's your bank's calling and your accounts have all been restricted and we need some information to verify your account, scam or
this is Equifax.
Yeah, this is Microsoft calling regarding
your computer.
And that's a very popular one. You know, your computer has viruses and all of your information is being compromised and you need to get us in there as soon as possible so that we can, you know, lock everything down for you. And even if it's one of those, I'm okay with
one of those will be fun.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry too. I had some Italian sausage with my beer for dinner, but
yeah, we
still
ate
a lot of Halloween candy up there. I need to,
really? I took a bunch to work and I've been nibbling on it at the office. And I think we probably got a little bit. Benjamin had his and he only just finished last year's candy. And actually we had to dump some of it out because it's just been in the bag. He'll take like a piece or two every couple of days. He'll dig through there. So we had to dump all the old stuff out that he never ate just so we could put the new one in. So that's really the only candy outside of maybe a hidden stash I've got up there.
Yeah, last night Kelly texted me a picture of the inside of the trash can in the kitchen today and says, you need to find a better hiding spot. And it was my leftover full-size Butterfinger wrapper that I... I'm like, if I was trying to hide it, I would do a better job than that. I was simply just throwing the wrapper away when I was done. And then I went into the, you're not the boss of me. You don't tell me how to live my life. All the things you've trained me to tell her, which, by the way, don't usually work, but, that's all right.
Don't go by my example.
But you know what we did have last night? Was it last night? No, it was two nights. Probably. Two nights ago, we had some pizza.
Well, last night was Pizza Thursday.
We went, but we didn't do Pizza Thursday, or did we? When the fuck did we get pizza?
You're telling the story, not me.
It was two nights ago. It was two nights ago. We had Sorrento's Pizza, which is a local place. We hadn't had pizza from there in a while, but it was pretty good. And
I haven't had pizza. I mean, there's a place across the street from us that's got like the authentic New York place. And there's a bunch of those around here, but they're good. But there's a couple of the local places that have the frozen pizzas that I tend to actually prefer.
Oh my God.
And it's hard to say.
It's wrong.
I think sometimes
it's wrong should be ashamed of yourself. Well, for me, frozen pizzas, like they have their place in the world. I feel like if it's there are times when there are extenuating circumstances where you just need to be able to like throw pizza in the oven real quick, have it cooked, and just have something just to fill your belly with that you can kind of call pizza. Yeah. But at the same time, they're never as good as the vast majority of delivery places.
Well, it's as good, but I mean, if you're not turning it down.
No.
You're not turning your nose up and going, no, no, I'm not going to eat that. That's garbage.
Kelly said, and I believe I talked about it on the show, that you could shit in a box and call it pizza, and I'd still think it's delicious because it's pizza. I mean, you at least want to put like some cheese and pepperoni on it. But I mean, like, I'm not picky, but at the same time, I am. So it's like, I'll eat all the pizza. And the same thing with beer. Like, if it's free, if you're like, here, have some beer, I'll take the beer and I'll drink the beer, yeah. You know, but I'm not going to go out of my way. If I have a choice, if I'm paying money, if I'm investing money into what I'm eating, it's not going to be frozen pizza unless it's an extenuating circumstance. Like we had one in the freezer and it's like borderline like 9 o'clock at night and we're starving and I just need something I can throw in there and just be done with, then the frozen pizza. Otherwise I'm getting something. Mm-hmm. Something better than that. But that being said, I mean, not all frozen pizzas, I think, are created equal. And some of them are definitely better than others.
Yes, I agree. And I've got an article here that I think we'll go through them kind of quickly just to go through the I guess this is a ranking of the best frozen pizzas and how close they are to delivery. And that's not, I don't even think that's really even a standard. Like you're going to say I'm the as good as delivery versus a place that, you know, like I said, a New York or a Chicago style, or what I've learned this week, there's Detroit style pizza. But I mean, I guess if you had to rank a frozen pizza, this is the list.
Well, and yes, that is correct, Robert. We're getting really good at segues.
Yeah, number 12. And now you mentioned this place last week with your old lady.
What, honey?
Parked up there in the up on the sidewalk right in front of the door. Yeah. But it's the whole
elderly listener is going to be so pissed off that you are tying her to the lady that parked on the sidewalk at Whole Foods. But go right ahead. You're digging your own grave on this one.
Hip young mom. Okay.
Hey, if I'm on good graces with Kelly, as it seems like I am, but by teaching you about the you're not the boss of me, then I guess I might as well
there's
take
two things I've learned from you too. It's to say you're not the boss of me and you don't tell right. me how to live my life.
Well, that one I don't know that I've had that, but they all kind of go
it's
together.
It's the same theme. It's a theme.
It's the same damn thing. Whole Foods 365. I never had this, but it says when it comes out of the oven, they look like the picture perfect frozen pizza. In fact, it strongly resembles the one the Ninja Turtles freebased in the old cartoons. I've never had it, but there's a Whole Foods near the office. I think I'll grab some and maybe try it.
I can walk to the Whole Foods that is by my office from my office.
Get your sushi.
I don't walk because I'm lazy as fuck and I only have so much time. So I drive like the asshole that I am. But at the same time, I could walk. I can literally like see the building, the side facade of the building from my office. But and I usually do get the sushi there. The sushi is pretty. This, we've talked about it. I'm not going to rehash old shit.
They have one that I like that's there. I meant to mention it before, but it's wrapped in lettuce. It's like ginger, has like a ginger sauce, and it's kind of spicy. Oh, and it's good. The outside is lettice rather than rice or anything.
So it's a
like
lettuce
that.
Wrap?
It's one of the kind of like that, okay. but it's still like the roll. Huh. And it's got a spicy ginger sauce.
No shit. I'll have to eat it.
It's good.
So, anyways, the Whole Foods 365. That does look appetizing. I mean, you can still kind of tell that it was probably just like a frozen pizza, yeah. But it looks pretty good. So that's number 12. So we're only getting better from here. Number 11 is the Tombstone Original. Frozen gets a bum rap with people automatically assuming it's going to have a cardboard crust, mealy cheese, tons of grease, and sauce that takes a step up from spicy ketchup. That's because of pizza like this. This gets bonus points because it has two kinds of pepperoni, thin discs and thick chunks. The bad news, both are kind of gross. Like somebody tried to make pepperoni in a lab, then got bored and just settled once they beat pepperoni, which is a dog treat that looks like and kind of smells like pepperoni. Now,
I've passed on these because they just...
Yeah, I'm not a Tombstone fan either. Now, let me ask you, though. No. Since it brought it up, pepperoni.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the traditional Boulder pepperoni that's the smaller ones that kind of curl up on the edges on the pizza, or do you like the larger flat ones?
Probably the ones that curl up on the end.
Oh, my God. We can still be friends because you said that. It's... It's hard to tell if that sound, if that drop is actually like, are they excited or are they bummed out?
It's kind of the slow clap of yays. It's a clap, so you're excited, but no, it's kind of
Hey, I'm gonna have a dogfish head pumpkin ale. I had to finish this up because it's only a certain amount of time till these are inappropriate to drink because of the weather.
Expire. I've got a bunch of pumpkin up there. I need to finish.
It's just not seasonally appropriate after a certain point.
Never. It's like my white pants. Number 10 is Tony's.
Fucking white pants.
When I was a kid, our school cafeteria would advertise Tuesday as Tony's Pizza Day. As such, it reminded me of my childhood, like the most disappointing parts of childhood, firmly wedged between going to church and finding out that the Easter Bunny was actually a communist. So I agree. I've never had one of these, and I kind of look at it as the cheap pizza. Like, you're expecting, looking at this box, you're going to probably pay $2 and it's going to taste like garbage.
And you know what? I don't think I've ever had Tony's, but I think I'd probably pass up on it. Like, even, like you said, even just looking at the box, it doesn't look good. It looks like cardboard with cheese and pepperoni on it. All right, number 9. Number 9 is Amy's Cheese Pizza, which I also haven't had. Amy's is the go-to brand for folks who want to feel as though they're eating something healthy, yet are still eating pizza. First off, first issue is, if you're eating pizza, you don't want to fucking feel like you're eating something healthy.
No.
You're not eating.
You'll get the one with tomatoes and broccoli on it.
I've never eaten pizza and be like, God, I'm so fucking healthy right now eating my pizza. Like, I just... It's something you eat because it's fucking delicious and greasy and covered in cheese and sauce and everything. It's, you're not trying to be healthy. But so, you know, if you try to pose as a healthy pizza, you're just fucking living a lie. But anyway, it says it means no pepperoni, but that might not be a bad thing if said processed meat would under deliver as much as the pie itself. There's an overpowering acidity and saltiness on this thing that really kills them. I'm not even going to read the rest of that. It's fucking nasty. No thanks. Pass.
Now, I just got an alert to the HQ trivia game, and I was going to hook up my phone so we could play it live, but I'm really thinking about this pizza, so maybe we'll save that for another time. But number 8.
Yeah, if you're going to get me to try to play a live game. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have pre-drank as much. I'm already on
$1,000.
Number 4 for tonight. Go ahead. Go next. Go to your next thing.
I'll be
number 8.
It'd be like Vegas where I'd just be bringing you drinks. But number 8, and I've not had these either because it scares me, but it's the Red Baron. It tastes like cafeteria pizza, but not the leathery self-serve one that's been sitting there all day just sweating. Like fresh out of the oven cafeteria pizza. The crackery bottom crust is balanced by surprisingly bouncy topside. The sauce is a little acrid, sure, but the cheese smooths out nicely, changing from soapy and strange into something a little blander and more familiar. There's a slight part of me that says maybe we've had this, but I've not had the Red Baron. It's another one of those that kind of scares me.
I think I've had Red Baron before, but again, it's one of those that
mistake.
If it's on the end cap and it's like, you know, half off, then maybe I pick one up. I don't know. Number 7 is Totino's Party Pizza. So first off, I should say this. Totino's is the company that makes pizza rolls. Mm-hmm. And pizza rolls are delicious. I don't consider them pizza. I consider them a pizza flavored snack, much like Cheez-Its is not. I don't consider Cheez-Its as cheese. They're a cheese flavored snack. So, but again, I do love pizza rolls. They're delicious. This says though, I haven't had the pizza, but anyway, it says there's a time and place for this weird flaky pizza with watery sauce and odd little holes in the bottom. It's called 3 a.m. alone after you got your heart broken at a bar. And at that time, it's perfect. Other times, not so much. But hear me out. If you do find yourself in the said situation or very hungry at 4:22, try rolling it up like a burrito. Sure, you'll squirt sauce out of those little holes. Why there's holes in the pizza? But you're going to eat your feelings, knuckle up, and do it right. So it's good. If it's the middle of the night and your heart is broken, apparently.
Well, you know, it says 4:22 because they figure 4:20 I don't know if 4:20 in the morning. I'm not a pothead, but I know 4:20 is
that's when they
pretty important.
The weeds.
Yeah, very hungry at 4. But at 4:20 in the morning?
I don't know. Listen, if you're a pothead, are you really concerned about what time it is?
I don't know. I've never been in that situation. Trader Giotto's for formaggi. I don't know if that's even right, but Trader Joe's offers up 900 different takes on pizza, from flatbread to deep dish to minis. I'm glad they didn't apostrophe that minis. This one is most basic, no pepperoni. It's actually got a nice foldability to it, plus an excellent cheese coverage. But damned if this one isn't one of the doughiest, most glue-like pizzas out there. The cheese, too, is a sticky mess that sticks to the roof of your mouth in sheets. Let it cool. And I hate that. Anytime I think of pizza, I always think about burning my roof. Not a bad offering by any means, but this is a pizza that stays with you for all the wrong reasons. It's basically soft, savory taffy.
I do love taffy, and I wouldn't mind pizza-flavored taffy. I don't know. I love Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's
is even closer to my office than Whole Foods. I have to kind of pass the Trader Joe's to get to the Whole Foods. So I do go there sometimes, especially if it's oh, that's right, we're having a potluck today, and I said I'd bring a fucking veggie tray, and it's 20 after 8, and I got to get to work. I'll go to Trader Joe's, because that's an easy place for me to go. I've never had their pizza, but I usually like their store brand stuff, but who knows?
Well, that's a good point. We'll come back to that. Number 5 is California Pizza Kitchen Crispy Thin Crust.
What are you doing?
This
You did number 6. Damn it.
It's your turn.
You stepped on my turn again. Fuck.
It's your turn.
Do you not remember doing the whole Trader Giotti's for formaggi?
I'm getting hungry. I was pre-reading for you. You go ahead. I know you're going to do better than I was.
Let me do my piece. Number 5, damn it, is California.
You, asshole.
You son of a bitch. You. Number 5, California Pizza Kitchen Crispy Thin Crust. This pie is from the famed mall adjacent pizza chain that gets some props for getting a tad fancier. The pepperoni has a pronounced smokiness. There are little diced up tomatoes, and the cheese, blocks of mozz with smoked gouda, is flecked with basil haphazardly, as if some stone teenager at the mall personally shook the herb on top. The crust, too, stands out with its crackery texture and slight saltiness, but those flourishes are also a bit of a downer because they give the illusion that you ordered a much better pizza before the overall meh of it reminds you that it is frozen. So I like California Pizza Kitchen, the restaurant.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the ones near me are all right in the middle of malls. I don't think I've had their frozen take-home pizza that you can get at the store. Have you?
Yeah, I've had it. They have the barbecue chicken one, and I think there's one other flavor that I've seen. And if you're kind of looking through there and you're looking for something like that that's a little bit different, that's not the usual pepperoni or supreme or the four cheese varieties, then I've had those. And again, they're... You know the frozen going into it. You know it's not going to be as good as if you're there at the restaurant. So, I mean, I would go ahead and have it. There's another one that they have in there. I can't remember the name. I think it's one of their white pizzas, but that one I haven't had. But I like the barbecue.
I don't trust the white sauce in frozen pizza.
No.
God knows where that pizza's been.
I think Charlie Sheen made this one. Number 4. Newman's Own Uncured Pepperoni. Here's a pizza you can feel good about. Newman's Own donates all of its profits to charity, but it also might make you feel a little woozy after you house the whole thing. The cheese here is pretty on point, and the sauce has a hint of spice that goes great with the thicker than normal uncured pepperoni. It's a damn fine frozen pizza until you consider the crust, which can't take it past the cardboard phase. Still, the whole package more than makes up for a little blandness on the back end. Kind of like the color of money.
We get a few of the Newman's Own stuff. Like Kelly gets their their pasta sauce a lot.
The salad dressing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Considering it was founded by Paul Newman and he just had to put his fucking mugshot on everything.
Yeah, I haven't had the pepperoni. I mean, I haven't had the pizza, but I've had a few of the other things.
And the website doesn't hate it. And I mean, I trust Thrillist more than I trust any of the major news sources out there. New York Times tells me to eat this pizza. I'm like, fuck you, New York Times, you bastard. You left bias sons of guns. But if Thrillist tells me, yeah, so we're up to the top three. And next one is one that I have had.
Yeah.
And that's fresh cheddar. The crust here is the closest to any pizza has currently gotten to tasting fresh. If you time it right, it's springy and altogether delightful. It can't match that pizzeria bounce you get from thicker crust offerings, but it's close, and the stringy cheese goes a long way in the experience. It's a bit generic, but in a great way. But the sauce is the real detriment here. It's got a kick to it that overpowers everything, which would be fine if this thing wasn't swimming in it. It just straight up drowns everything out. It's a shame that it derails such a solid pie, and make no mistake, this is a solid pie, alas. So yeah, we've gotten this brand before. It's like one of those, like, if it's on sale, you know, we might grab one here and there, but it's not bad.
Yeah, agreed. I'll still pass on it for a favorite, but it's not bad. Number two, Signature Select Rising Crust. I am frankly aghast that this store brand DiGiorno knockoff placed this high and even beat out Freschetta, which was my projected winner here. But here we are, and why? First, the crust, which tastes almost exactly like a hot and ready from Little Caesars, which is already not the gold standard.
It is from frozen pizzas, though. How much can we make this pizza taste like a fucking hot and ready from Little Caesars? That's good enough for us.
And how did it get to number two? It isn't exactly the epitome of takeout, but hits a certain nostalgia spot. It's flecked with Parmesan, nice touch, that gives it an almost crazy breadish vibe. And the crust almost completely avoids that cardboard texture. It's hands down the best crust of the bunch. Bouncy, crunchy, pillowy. Sounds like me. Bravo off the brand pizza, available at stores like Safeway, Vons, and Albertsons. So why isn't it number one? It's because it's topped with what appears to be a pizza soup, a combination of mozzarella and a runny, relatively tame sauce that feels more like an afterthought until you consider that there's so much more of it. And the pepperoni here, pile on in discs and thick strips, is clearly brand X. 5 paper towels later, it was still a slippery mess of grease, and combined with the sauce and cheese, it completely changed the middle into a mess of doughy goop. So, and you never want to have that. And I haven't had this particular brand, but
it's good. It's good. I like it. It is.
It's a lot of pepperoni.
I love lots of pepperoni, though. Sometimes I'll get, because Kelly doesn't like pepperoni. And our local place, if you use a coupon for a pizza and one topping, they require that there is the equivalent of one topping on the entire pizza in order to give you the coupon. It's fucking stupid as it is. So I said, I'll just say, okay, no problem. So inevitably I'll order, and they're like, oh, well, the coupon's not working. I'm like, yes, because you need the equivalent of one topping on the entire pizza. So just put double pepperoni on my side and nothing on her, the other side, and your coupon will work just fine. They're like, holy shit, that actually worked. I'm like, I know, because I ordered too much pizza. And then they bring me pizza with double pepperoni, and it's really delicious. So, yeah, so I've had this before, and it's, you know, it's again, it's not bad for frozen pizza. If we're comparing it to hot and ready's, then it's, you know, it's I guess it's right on, almost on par with a fucking hot and ready for $5 that you get at Little Caesars. But anyway, to number one here.
And nobody can be surprised at this.
No, I mean, you know, it's probably the top, like, frozen pizza brand. They have the most, the largest space on the shelf in the frozen food section, in the pizza section. They have they have the most flavors. They do the most advertising. And that is number one is DiGiorno. Look, this isn't real pizza. The crust is exceedingly firm to the bottom and doughy on top, but this pizza, more than any others, feels like it's really, really trying to be a real pizza, and it's largely succeeding. Keyword largely. I'd rather eat this than Domino's or Papa Murphy's any day. The cheese, salty and elastic. The sauce, slightly sweet, but with a nice little red pepper spice to make it the best of the bunch. Even more important, unlike the other top contenders, it doesn't appear to be applied by a hyperactive two-year-old given free rein to stock pot and big-ass ladle. No, you would never believe that this was delivery, but which is a, you know, there, it's a little bit of a shot at there. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno advertising to do, but you also probably wouldn't care because this is the most balanced and nuanced of all the options in your freezer. An obvious choice. Sure. But it's obvious for a reason. So I would say we've probably had, again, going to frozen pizza, which we don't eat that often, we've had DiGiorno the most out of all of them.
Yeah. Now, do you like it? I mean, you're buying it and you're having it the most. Yeah, but
I don't. I'd say I don't hate it.
You eat it because it's there.
Yeah. Again, our benchmark here is trying to be as good as a fucking $5 hot and ready pizza. Which, by the way, I can drive like 3 minutes from my house and get one of those. That I don't have to cook in an oven. It just comes somewhat hot because at some point during, it's hopefully the same day, somebody's actually put it together and cooked it. You know, so I, compared to that, I'd even go with a hot and ready over a DiGiorno. But again, if there's a bunch of snow, it's a dead of fucking winter in Michigan, there's a bunch of snow on the ground, I don't feel like
so October
leaving. If we happen to have one of these in the freezer, I'll cook it. And Kelly actually likes them too. She's a fan.
All right. Now, if not, and it doesn't have to be on this list, if you have a brand or is there a particular kind, if you're thinking frozen pizza, that you're going to pick over any of them? Do you have a favorite or do you they're all kind of the same?
I would say DiGiorno, and I would say the DiGiorno, the rising crust pizza. It just seems like it has the crust has more substance to it, and it tastes the most like a regular pizza that I would buy at a store.
Yeah, we tend to like, near our house now, but where we lived before, they had it, but there was a grocery store and we always tended to buy their store brand one, and found that it was really like we found ourselves eating it a lot just because it was so good. And it's, I don't even know if that it was that good, but just the flavor of it was almost like a Chick-fil-A sandwich where you just kind of crave it. There was something in there that you wanted. And I've never been a big fan of DiGiorno. I've never been really of any of those in here. I don't tend to buy very often. Every now and then we'll buy one, just, you know, they're 2 for $5 or something like that. But for the most part, the store brand ones tend to be what we go for.
Actually, if I were to get a frozen pizza, Giordano's pizza, which is, I don't know, I think we've talked about it on the show before, but they're the true Chicago style deep dish pizza. They have they're based out of Chicago and all their locations are in the city of Chicago. Or like in Chicago, or the immediate surrounding area around Chicago.
Yeah.
They will actually ship. You can order a prepackaged shipped pizza. So what they basically do is they put the pizza together. They partially bake it and then they freeze it. Then you can order it and can have it delivered to your house on dry ice. And then you just basically complete the process at that point. And I've gotten so close to ordering it before, but the issue that I run into is just the price to do it. So like even just getting like a pepperoni, they have one option. It's a 2-pack. It's $65 for 2 pizzas.
Hmm.
And granted, you're going to go and probably pay $18 for this same pizza at the restaurant. But $65, I mean, that's $32.50 a pizza. But it's so good. And I've never gotten it myself for the frozen delivered kind, but I know people who have, and they say, I mean, it's delicious because, I mean, it's basically a Giordano's pizza you're having, but that's pretty, pretty steep.
Well, there's a place in Chicago called Portillo's that I went to when I went there a couple of years back that somebody who used to live there told me to go. And then when I got there, the guy said, well, I'll take you to lunch. I'll take you to Portillo's. And they do a similar thing. And they have a website where you can order. They have Italian beef and then they have the sausage And the food is unbelievable. And of course, it was brand new to me. So it's probably why it tastes so good. But you can order it. And yeah, for the same thing, you get a couple of Chicago pizzas and some sausage and beef. It's like $100 for this box of food. yeah. I'm tempted to order it because, but I know that it's probably not going to be as good as it was when I was there. But at the same time, I think just to get something authentic that actually came from out there, it might be fun to do every now and then.
Right now, anyway, maybe it's just because we've been talking about pizza for the last 20 minutes and I just want pizza so bad, but
I'm hungry.
I mean, Christmas is coming. I might even just because like people are starting to ask me, like my in-laws and stuff, like, what do I want for Christmas? I might just have to seriously ask for Giordano's frozen pizzas for Christmas.
Yeah, look. Yeah, I see it. This ship Chicago style pizza, Giordano's.com/shop, and the website is Taste of Chicago that has the various things that are on there. Where if you're looking for it, they've got looks like a bunch of different places that they'll ship from, and it's TasteofChicago.com. They've got Portillo's on there, Vienna beef, Nuts on Clark, Ellie's cheese steaks, Long Grove Confectionery, Wildfire steaks, Manny's Deli. So there's probably 20 Cora Lee toffee. I might have to order something from there because I do love toffee.
I like toffee too. Saltwater. What, toffee or taffy?
What's not taffy. Toffee.
Oh, okay. I like taffy too, though.
Deerfield's Bakery. Real Urban Barbecue. So I don't know. That's a good idea.
This all sounds good.
Tasteofchicago.com.
I want to eat all the things.
Well, that's it for pizza.
I think we've had enough pizza talk for tonight. How about some crazy news?
Well, we had some other food stuff, but we're both starving. And I think we'll save that for another time. But it's crazy news time. I'm excited. This one's some funny stuff. And I don't even remember. I think I found it on Facebook. But
I love to look at this bitch's face.
I had to laugh. Oh man, I tried to find audio for it, but I couldn't find it. But I still just, it was worth it.
All right, so this is from Daily News. Wait, no, this is from WorldNewsDailyReport.com. This could be fake as shit. I don't know, but nonetheless, our job is to bring crazy news to our listeners, and it's your job to determine whether or not you fucking believe a word we're saying. So
it's from your friends in Ohio too, not Florida this time.
According to WorldNewsDailyReport.com, there was an elderly woman in Columbus who is accused of training her 65 cats.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom. Okay,
elderly listener, go away. You have not got, you know, she hates cats, but she's allergic to cats.
What, honey?
So I know it wasn't her. Mom, I'll talk to you later. She's in Illinois, by the way, right now. But anyway, so this lady, this crazy old fucking lady in Columbus trained her 65 cats to steal from her neighbors in order to live.
So several victims reported being visited by Miss Gregson's cats before noticing the disappearance of several shiny objects like valuable cutlery and pieces of jewelry.
Yeah, so the Columbus Police Department opened an investigation on Ruth Gregson and her 65 cats in October after several neighbors reported small objects being stolen from their homes.
What, honey?
So this lady...
I noticed that she had a phone number.
This lady, who's not elderly listener, as much as Robert would like you to think she is, she trained her cats to steal shiny objects. How do you even, hey, Skittles, go steal from the Johnson's house, go find something shiny and bring it home. Like, I don't know. We're not even that far into the story, and I feel like this is just complete fucking shit. Keep going. You know what? Until proven otherwise, this is real fucking news. This is breaking shit, guys. You got to listen to this.
We found it on the interweb, so it's true. According to Columbus Police Chief Kim Jacobs, Dozens of cats were constantly coming and going, bringing home anything that shined. She was like Fagin in Oliver Twist, but she was using cats as thieves instead of children. In less than 3 hours of surveillance, the detective saw cats bring home more than 100 objects.
Upon searching Meg's Gregson's house, investigators found $650,000 worth of jewelry and precious metal among piles of worthless, shiny baubles. Baubles? Baubles. Baubles? B-A-U-B-L-E-S. Baubles. Chief Jacob says the elderly woman confessed to training her cats to steal, saying the felines had to earn their meals. She would only she'd only feed the animals if they brought home valuables. So the animals had to steal every day in order to survive. Most were voluntarily malnourished, so they would easily gain the neighbors' pity and be allowed inside of their houses. And apparently somehow steals get into their fucking jewelry boxes or their cabinets where their fine china is and
cutlery
and get it out of their house without noticing. What Snickers got in her mouth. Oh, don't worry about it. She was just nosing around in your bedroom. Like, I mean, what the hell? Here's
and they're
Skittles.
Cats.
Here's Skittles. It's you want like some food? Go find something shiny. Like I, go ahead, continue.
It's not, yeah, it's not like they have opposable thumbs. But it says in 2009, a surveillance that caught a monkey stealing hundreds of dollars worth of plants from a Texas nursery. Although why would that be what you would go for? But like, you're right. How do you get a cat to steal something? You put it in its mouth. It's still got to get out the door. It's not like that these neighbors are leaving their door open for the cats to come in and out.
Was she training them to eat it and then maybe poop it out later?
And they've got no pockets. And they're going to back out the door going, all right, well, I'll come back next
time. Go find something nice and mommy will feed you. Like you got to see the picture of this lady too. Okay. If something is true about this story.
Yeah.
It's that she is... Just by looking at her, I could tell she owns several cats.
Yeah.
Just by looking at her picture, she's a fucking cat lady. But
she will be on the show art this week.
But she should. She should be the center of attention. She could be the show art. So
you're not the boss of me.
But no, obviously I'm not, and I have nothing to do with fucking show art. But. I send you things. See, I give you ideas throughout the week, like here, and then sometimes they end up on the show art, and that's perfectly fine.
It all comes together.
So this is
crazy.
So this lady right here, she trained her cats
to steal from her neighbors.
Why would the neighbors let her fucking cats in their houses? Oh, you look malnourished. Come on in. I'm going to leave and I'm just going to prop the door open for you for the next half hour.
Go to the kitchen. Help yourself.
Yeah. Just, you know, don't worry about it. Just let yourself out when you're done. Again, if I no, this is completely true. Obviously. This is, obviously. I'm not even going to check Snopes because I know that this is real.
I don't want to be let down.
Pressing fucking news.
I don't want to be let down for episode 41 of the Two Bobs.
We did it. Yay. How about let's talk. Wait, there's more trending now stories. How about the murderer who cannibalizes his 12 victims has rare eating disorder, says lawyer.
And what's he got over his mouth? It's like he's got a roll of duct tape just kind of hanging over his nose.
Or about, here's another trending now from World Daily News Report. Overweight German man who joined ISIS says they used him as sex slave.
The Georgia man kept his deceased mother in the freezer for years for casual sex.
Babysitter transported to hospital after inserting a baby in her vagina.
So,
tornado carries mobile home. 130 miles, family inside unharmed. What?
A death row inmate eats an entire Bible as his last meal.
DNA tests prove retired postman has over 1,300 illegitimate children.
Bullshit.
Remember?
So these are the stories that are right in line.
We should have saved these.
The old elderly woman who trained her 65 cats to steal from her neighbors. This is all from the same source. These are the same people. The woman arrested for training squirrels to attack her as her ex-boyfriend is from the same news source as the elderly woman who trained her cats to steal from her neighbors.
Well, you'll recognize the man accused of stealing 32 tons of bacon down there that I said to you earlier. The members of a midget crime gang suspected of 55 break-in.
Teenager sues his parents for $250,000 for naming him Gaylord.
Well, that's what
Missouri. Can't tell if it's good or bad. It's all right. This news is more real than what we just tried to dish out as real fucking news to our listeners. Yeah, here we go.
Look.
Members of midget crime gang suspected of 55 break-ins.
But look how much joy it's brought.
George man kept deceased mother in freezer for years for casual sex. Bomb squad successfully disarms artillery shell truck and man's rectum. Amnesiac Star Trek fan wakes from coma speaking only Klingon.
So you're saying it's bullshit?
No. Our story was the only real one that's on the World News Daily Report.
Well, that's good.
.com.
Well, if anybody else has any crazy news stories about their cats of the neighbors stealing from them, we'd love to hear it.
Yes, please. I'd love to.
You can find all of our contact information at thetwobobs.com.
Oh, shit.
As always, share the show with your friends and let us know if you have any questions, feedback, or comment.
Oh, did you tell them about the number to call? Hey, elderly listener. Elderly listener, where are you? Get over here.
Yeah.
Oh,
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Thank you, Mom. Yes, we do. It is 885. Wait, 530-882-BOBS. That is 530-882-2627.
You guys are probably the coolest Bobs of all the Bobs.
Why do I always get a drop when I'm drunk, but you just get it? No problem over on Robert's side. He never has to, you know, drop himself for getting drunk on the show. Just because I pre-drank tonight. Yeah, you know what?
I've been enjoying this.
It's Friday. I got all the time in the world.
That's right.
I don't have to be up till Harrison wakes me up at 6 in the morning.
Here's some matches. Go play for a little while.
It's only a matter of time till he knows how to work the Apple TV and I don't have to get up and turn it on for him.
Just give him his iPad.
Yeah, we try to limit that. Especially because...
Yeah, but not at 6 a.m. on a Saturday.
You'd be shocked at how many inappropriate videos are on YouTube, kids. Like, I constantly have to go in now and, like, reset his search history, so he's not pulling up weird videos and block particular videos. It's crazy.
Well, they've changed it this week to make you log in.
When I did all that, he's still watching weird shit on there, though. It's a Band-Aid. It doesn't fix the problem. But anyway.
It's 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. It's enough of a Band-Aid until you get your ass up.
Well, that's true. Kelly, wake up. What's Harrison watching on his iPad? It appears to be porn. But it's on YouTube, kids, so don't worry about it.
Go take care of it, would you?
Oh, man. Well, all right. Well, there's another episode in the books.
We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.